Sometimes I know a week ahead of time what I'm going to preach, and then sometimes, most of the time, I don't. You know, be honest with you, this morning I wasn't sure what I was going to preach this morning. And that's how the Lord does. He surprises me. He really does. And I don't know. I probably get more help from my own preaching than anybody else does, but, I just appreciate the Lord helping. You know, I preached on heaven this morning, Dakota. Can you believe that? Preached on heaven. Did I?
Yes.
Yeah, did I? I preached on heaven. Can't say I never preached on anything good because I preached on heaven. I did talk a little bit about who's not going, but that's got to be. That's a necessary part of it. But I really enjoy preaching about things like that. Heaven and what lies ahead for us as people of God and all that, but I don't really like what I'm preaching tonight. I said that last Sunday night, but I really don't. I just don't like preaching it, but it's here. It's in 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're just going through this little section of the scripture here that where he's talking about false prophets and need to have some wisdom and discernment. And like I said last week, you know, what I want to be careful about is, I don't want to be cynical myself and too critical of other people. I don't want to live in that realm. You know, and the older you get, the more you ought to be that way too. You ought to realize that there's a lot more to think about and a lot more to focus on than just the negative. But this verse here tonight tells us that there's wolves among us. Now, that's what he told us. He told us as the church years ago that's the way to be. 2 Peter chapter 2, let's start reading verse 11 and let's read down through 14. Now, he's talking about false prophets. That's the context. That's what all these statements are speaking of. Nothing else. He's speaking about the false prophets, describing them. Talking about their motives. We talked about last week their motives and their character. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Beware of them because they're always going to be there. There were false prophets, he said here in 2 Peter, among them in the past. There are now and there will be in the future. Let's read these verses. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these who? These false prophets he's talking about. As natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. It's one thing about them, they speak evil of things they don't understand. And shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. Do you understand that he's talking about, even back then, he's talking about people who stood in pulpits and preached to other people. The leaders, the teachers, the preachers and pastors. That's who he's talking about. That's who he's describing here. Some of them were like this. Not all of them are like this. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. But some are. And you don't want your children, your grandchildren, or yourself to be under such as that. You need to know how to identify and recognize. And it's like I told you last week, this is not something you do at the drop of a hat. It's not something you do on one thing that you see. There's a whole lot of information here in this chapter and a whole lot of information in the rest of the Bible that tells us how to watch and how to discern. We're not supposed to judge. Everybody says, well, here you go. What are you going to do about all this? You are supposed. How are you going to beware of false prophets if you don't do some judging? If you don't make some discerning decisions, how you gonna obey that? How you gonna keep from being taken by them? They'll utterly perish in their own corruptions and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. We talked about that this morning. Unrighteousness has a reward also. And they, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. The effects of a false teacher are very bad and negative. So we need to know. We need to listen to what the Scripture tells us here. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please bless it now and open our understanding that we could understand these things as you're teaching us here. Not be blind, not be stumbling, not be making mistakes and being influenced by people who are not of God. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Be it false prophets are like wolves. Jesus and Paul both likened them to that animal. Man. You don't like being compared to an animal? Well, God does it quite a bit. Jesus said, called Herod a fox. We were talking about it the other day, wasn't we? Was it me and you talking about it? Foxes are never mentioned in a positive light in the Bible. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Jesus said, Herod, that fox, you go tell that fox. Paul, Jesus both called false prophets and false teachers wolves. A wolf is not a good animal, is it? Nobody likes a wolf. I don't know anybody does. They're dangerous. We're talking about them the other day. Somebody's talking about it. Was that you said telling about how big they were? They had such a big old head. Certain kind of wolf. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Wow. For I know this, said Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Y'all ought to realize, most of you have been saved for a while, you've been in church and been around enough to understand this, but that really does happen. There are a lot of them running around that just are looking for a church to ravish. Take all they can get from them, benefit all they can from them, and then leave them hanging. That's a wolf. That ain't a man of God. That's a false prophet, a false teacher. And the Bible ain't got nothing good to say about people like that. The real pastor, the real man of God, will be giving, not taking. You can mark that down. If he can't continue because you're not paying him, he's a hireling. He's not a man of God. Now that's just the way it is. And there's so many churches. You say, why you gotta say that? Because there's so many churches and people that don't understand that. They look at it completely different and they just don't understand that. You know, there's a lot of things nowadays where I wonder about it. It's, you know, and I don't want to be overcritical of anybody and anything, you know, just because it's the situations are different and I understand all that and all that. But, you know, I've never even considered going on deputation to raise support to pastor this church. But I know, I've known quite a few who in order to start a church in the United States, they go on deputation just like a missionary to a foreign country and raise support so that they can go to some town somewhere and start this church. And, you know, I say, why you got to do that for? I mean, I know it's rough. I know. I've done it more than this church. I've had two other times where I've been a pastor of a little old church where nobody was there and couldn't get nobody to come. Because just when you get down to zero, buddy, it's hard to get anybody to come in. And I know zero pastors who have done it. You'll hear them talk about how they went somewhere and started this church and got it going and I did all this. But without exception, I've found out by doing a little talking and researching, they didn't do it just alone. They gathered in some people from other churches to help them get started. Oh, yeah. I've known a lot of different ones. I've known them myself who go to some place and they prepare before they go by stirring and talking and they recruit from other churches enough of a crowd to get started. And then build a great new work for God. And then they go tell people, well, I moved to this town. I started a church from the ground up scratch. Just me and my family. No, they didn't. And they had a salary from the first day. They had a place to live paid for by the church from the first day. There's a young couple here not a few several years ago. They was going to start a church somewhere in this area. And his goal was to have 100 the first month. Have 100 people in attendance. Well, I don't think it works out that way for the real deal. I just can't, you know. Maybe I'm just no good. Maybe I don't understand. And maybe I'm lousy at what I do. And maybe I ain't all that. But I just know that it's different. You know, I just know that I've known some real men of God. And they're givers, not takers. They'll give when they ain't got nothing to give. And they won't take it when they really need it. Yeah. And then I've known a lot of them, buddy, they'll grab every dime they can get and ask for more. I've known them who wouldn't come unless they had a minimum amount. Well, it ain't gonna happen around here. Ain't nobody gonna do that. I wouldn't call somebody to come to preach here if they told me that for nothing. I'd just say, scratch that one. Hopefully I'd have enough sense to know that he was like that before I'd even ask him to come. I think I would. But that's just the way it works, see? They have no regard for any dignity or place of honor. They don't even consider submitting to higher authority unless threatened with more force than they possess themselves. How you deal with a wolf? How much restraint does he have? How much concern does he have? None. He has only concern for himself. He's a ravening wolf, a hungry wolf. There's nothing to him but an appetite. That's all there is to him. You understand that? He's there to get what he can get from anybody he can get it from, with violence if he has to. And he don't care what he leaves behind, as long as he gets what he wants. Now that's what the Bible describes here. Jesus described them that way. Paul described them that way. They look upon the world as their domain, and all that it contains is for their spoil if they can get it. And they view other people as a wolf views its prey. Think about that. You know, man, it's like I said, I don't like preaching this stuff, but I've just known, I've been down the road and I've been exposed to a lot of things that I wish I'd have never known, wish I'd have never seen, wish I'd have never experienced. Because it takes away your innocence, really. I don't know any other way to put it. I used to think anybody named the name of Christ, if they claimed they were saved and they went to church all the time, they were a preacher, a missionary, I thought, man, they got to be good folks. Surely they're honest, and surely, I never even thought about it. They got to be. They are. God's people are that way. Well, I didn't understand that there were wolves among us. I didn't understand that that this was the way it was. But this is the way it is. Sure is. And you just need to learn that. You need to learn to put your money where it'll please God and where it's really going to do the work. Instead, I've seen people so many times that have means to give. I mean, I've known some rich people, and they were generous with their money, and they gave it to wolves. Because the wolves howled, and the wolves were around circling, and the wolves moved in on it because they got an eye for that. And they know where the good pickings are at. And buddy, they don't mind circling in and asking for it and grabbing it and getting it if they can. I'm just telling you, that's the difference. That's one way to really tell. Oh, well, they view other people like a wolf views his prey. The Bible says here they're natural brute beasts, which means they're like a dumb animal. Brute means without reason and senseless. They're like a senseless animal without conscience and without restraint. You say, man, that's awful strong language there that you're using. No, I'm telling you what the scripture, I just read it to you. These as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. They exercise no more restraint over their carnal passions and appetites than an animal does. See, so, yeah, there's preachers like that? Yeah, afraid to tell you there is. They sure are. All right? They live completely under the control of their carnal appetites and don't allow reason or conscience to exert any restraint. It says they have eyes full of adultery. This corrupt passion has completely seized them in its grip. Why do you think when you hear of some scandal or that it comes out in the public view about some preacher somewhere or some other leader in a church being immoral, it's not very often that it's just with one woman, is it? No, it's always with a bunch of them, isn't it? Ain't that the way it happens? When you finally start uncovering it, it's just like a big old boil that burst or something. I mean, it's a bunch. It ain't just one. It wasn't just one little thing. One woman, one affair. No, he's been at it for a while, and he's done it a bunch, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. Yeah. It's been going around on the news, and I seen on there yesterday, Bill Clinton at that funeral, looking up and down that woman. There's preachers like that. If you'll watch, you can spot them. Yeah. Say, man, you are just flat ugly. You're mean. No, I'm just telling you. I've watched them. I've got where I watch. I used to didn't because I was stupid. Don't you be stupid. You need to watch. You can tell. This is one of the traits. They have eyes full of adultery. Can't cease from sin. That means full means that there's no room for anything else. That's all they think about. Last week I told you about the preacher telling Brother Owen, sitting on the platform, about watching the women, telling him which ones would and wouldn't. If you watch their eyes, you'll pick up on it. They're like the wolf that's continually hunting his prey. That's what a wolf thinks about. What else does he think about? He's after his prey. And that's the way they are, too. They can't cease from sin. Well, no wonder they preach this sin and religion then. Ain't that something? They tell you can't quit sinning. Because they can't. They preach their experience. They say, we're all sinners. If you're saved, you're still a sinner. Now, why would somebody preach that? Because that's their experience. The Bible tells us right here, a false prophet cannot cease from sin. He can't quit doing it, so he don't think anybody else can. And he tells everybody else they can't. And he gets mad if anybody tries to blow his cover. Right there it is. They have no restraints. They've given the opportunity to indulge their lust. They'll not hesitate. We were talking about it yesterday, all this counseling that preachers do and stuff, you know. It didn't used to be that way. I never heard of such nonsense when I was a kid. And what I knew about church, that's a modern thing. And I asked whoever we were talking to about last night, I guess Seth and him, or night before last, whatever it was. But anyway, who goes to the preacher for counseling? Who goes, mostly? Women. Yes, sir. Men don't generally go to the preacher for counseling. And what is counseling? I mean, if you won't listen to the preaching of the word from the pulpit, what in the world makes anybody think that somebody's going to listen while you sit in an office privately and you give them advice? What a bunch of nonsense and junk. It is an opportunity for false prophets whose eyes are full of adultery and can't cease from sinning to just fulfill their lusts. And that's what happens a lot of the time. Because a lot of preachers will counsel women privately, just him and her. Yeah. And he's either a fool or he's a false prophet and an adulterer. Looking for it. And a lot of the women who go in for counseling, that's what they got in mind too. That's right, buddy. I don't care. Spit at me, whatever you want to do. That's the truth. Ain't no need in it. If you'd listen to what's preached from the pulpit and you got somebody preaching to you, you ain't got no need of counseling. They can't cease from sin. The reason they can't cease from sin, it's not a physical one, but simply that they're so corrupt and undisciplined in their mind and heart, they will not cease from sin. Although they're inwardly ravening wolves, they manage to obtain positions of authority and power in the churches and in the lives of people. They don't have a problem getting another church. They can do some big dirty deal and destroy the church and leave a stink in the town that won't never go away and move to another state and get another church and just start right in. I remember Brother Owen telling me about another guy that he knew. He went to church over there. He was kin to some of the people in the church over there. And he was messing around with a young girl. And he went to another state. And this other church was thinking of hiring him as their pastor. And they called the Brother Owen and asked him about it. And he told them what all that he knew that he had done and what the deal was. They hired him anyway, knowing that. And what do you think about that? They don't have no trouble getting in another place, finding another flock to fleece. Because that's their business and that's what they're about. They're wolves. That's right. And one of the jobs that a pastor has got is shooting wolves. Spotting them. Watching for them. What is a pastor? He's a shepherd. What does a shepherd do with sheep? He watches for wolves. He don't sit there playing on his phone and fiddling around and messing around while the wolves come in and tear the flock all to pieces. He's a watching for them. And if one shows up, he deals with him swiftly. Amen. Because sheep ain't watching. They're just eating grass, man. Having a good time. Living their lives. Being at peace. And they ain't watching. Shepherd's supposed to watch. Everybody's supposed to watch. But he's supposed to teach the sheep to be alert too. And that's what we're doing right here. So they're able to do this. They can go find another by beguiling unstable souls. That's the way it's worded here. That word means to bait or trap, as a hunter would an animal. Beguiling unstable souls. Deer season's here in a few months. Now, you hunters, what are you going to be doing pretty soon? Well, if you're really a hunter, you're going to be baiting them deer. Right? Well, if you want to catch an animal, you got to bait him. You ain't going to just put a trap out there and hope that he just happens to wander in it and get trapped. That ain't how you do it. You got to put something in there he wants. And then he'll overcome his fears and just go on in there after it. That's the way wolves do. That's how they keep finding places to go. That's how they can keep power in the places where they are at. One of the arts of a false prophet is to place allurements in front of people who do not have settled principles and are not firm in their convictions. That's why a real preacher is going to try to get you to believe something and to get fixed and founded and steadfast in the truth and what's right and wrong. What the Bible says. He's going to teach you and exhort you and rebuke you and reprove you and try to get you to the place where you understand some things and where you hold on. But the wolf takes advantage of the people who are weak. Now a wolf, when he comes after the sheep, who's he go for? Or any animal like that. I mean, I've watched these water buffalo over there in Africa and what it is, they cross that river and these crocodiles and everything are after them. You know what they go after? The little ones, the weak ones, the slow ones. That's right. Well, when a false prophet starts working in a church, who does he go after? He goes after the weak ones, the shaky ones. The ones that don't read their Bible, except and watch television all the time. The ones that's got their worldly things and habits and stuff. He cuddles up to them. It's like I've told you many times, you know, if you were of the world will love his own. You can tell. You can tell by who he cuddles up to and who he allies himself with right out of the gate. By this method, they can entrap those who are unstable and identify those who are not. He focuses on the people in the church which are not really spiritual and they're easily deceived. All right, you're really going to like this verse, but it's not Mike Miller. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. For of this sort, and he's talking about false prophets also. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. They're creeps. That's a good word for them. And that's what they do. They creep. They sneak in. They slide in. Slither in. Slip in to houses. And lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now, you can get mad if you want to. That's what the Word of God says about them and how they work and how they get their power. The devil did it in the garden. The false prophets do it in the churches now. They work through the women. They go after the weak ones that think they're spiritual. The ones that have the busiest mouths. The ones who talk the most and praise the Lord the most. They're almost invariably, they're the weakest. I'm telling you from experience, that's the way it is. Man, they're the first target of the false prophet. The one that's wanting to get a hold in. Because if he can get them in his camp, which is very easy to do, he can allure them through much wantonness. Yeah. And he does it. Yes, sir, buddy. He can hug them. He can sweet talk them. He can, you know. And boy, they just become putty in his hands. They'd take up for him no matter what he done. How do you think all this stuff happens in these cults and these other churches and stuff where all this junk happens that we read about in the news and everything else? How do you think it happens? You think he just walked in there and all of a sudden they just all fell at his feet? Now, he worked it for a while very slyly and deviously. He did it mechanically, methodically. He's eyed this whole crowd over, preached on good, sweet things like love and heaven for a while, and watched everybody. And it don't take long to pick out who's spiritual and who's not, even for a false prophet. And he targets them. That's what the Bible says here. It's what it's teaching. He'll befriend them and praise them and exalt them to positions where they can support his agenda and his ravenous appetite for carnal indulgence, money, and power. He's got to have people on his side. It's like politics. He wins his following. And he has this following. And then at the same time, he'll be hostile toward any truly spiritual people in the church. You better believe it, he will. He's got them spotted too. And they're troublemakers. You know, they're troublemakers, he calls them. He must, because they'll pick up his smell as he goes about his business of beguiling unstable souls. Spiritual people have spiritual discernment. And they have discernment and common sense in regular things too. And spiritual people in the church are going to spot this character and his carrying on with the silly women of the church and the unstable souls in the church. And they're going to notice that he's working a plan here. They're going to smell it. And so they're going to rise up, and he's ready for them because he's already got this loyal following. It's the way it works. The Bible's telling us this is how that it happens. So beware. Beware of it. He doesn't understand truth and spiritual things. He simply learns and uses the language of spiritual people and truth and uses it as one of his tools to deceive and cloak himself. Sheep's clothing. He talks like them. Uses the same language, the same cliches. You know, he can talk about the blood. He can talk about salvation. He can talk about all the things and make it sound just like he's a regular sheep. But he's not. He's a sheep's clothing, but he's a wolf. He can gather a following this way, and he always does, because there's never a shortage of unstable souls in the churches. Ain't that a shame? Hey, that's a shame. He can eventually take over and force the sheep to leave, so he has it all to himself. It usually doesn't take very long either. Man, I've seen it happen. They move in, clean out the church, and it's theirs. I remember here, it's been a year or two ago, but I was reading about it in the news. This 102 or 3-year-old woman had been in this church for 60-some years, I think it was. She went to this church, maybe 80-some years. Been there all of her life, down Mississippi or somewhere like that. And I got a new preacher in. And, of course, he really upgraded things to the modern way. And she didn't like it. And so he went about to kick her out of the church after she'd been there all them years. And anyway, it ended up, I think him and his following got kicked out, which was the way it ought to be. Saying, well, I've known. And see, we've been taught that all through the years and heard stories of just the opposite. Have this church full of old hard-headed moss backs, and they wouldn't want to do nothing, and they didn't ever want to do nothing. The preacher come in, they just run him off. Well, maybe he was a wolf. You ever think of that? Yeah. Very likely could be. That it could be the case. Because I've known some of them that were wolves. They had all the marks. And if you're watching, you can see all the identifying marks of it. All right, a false prophet has a heart that exercises covetous practices, it says here. He's skilled in the methods which covetous people use to get the property of others. I mean, he knows how to get the money out of the pockets of other people and into his. I heard Brother Shepherd and Miss Shepherd come on in, sit in. I was just thinking about it there. I was hoping that door wasn't locked back there. But. All right. We're having a wonderful time here talking about false prophets. Everybody's just about to run and shout, I think. He's skilled in the methods that covetous people use to get the property of others. He has covetous practices. He knows how to get that money out of their pockets. He knows how to take advantage of people and get whatever he wants from them. I've known a lot of people like that. They have no trouble. Not a bit of trouble. Not a bit of trouble. Raising money for anything. Thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's like I've told you before about the missionary I knew down there raising $250,000 while he's committing adultery. You know, abandoning his family and everything. And just destroyed the whole thing. But he didn't have much trouble at all raising that money. No, sir, buddy. One person up north gave him $50,000 at one lick. I ain't never been able to do that. I don't know about you, Brother Shepherd. I ain't never been able to get hardly nothing. Of course, I ain't never tried. I just don't try. I ain't concerned about that. I mean, I know we need stuff, but the Lord always provides for us. And he has here. I mean, if it wasn't for the Lord providing, I don't know where we'd be or what we'd be doing right now. But he always does. He always does. So I don't make it my business to try to fleece people and try to squeeze some more money out of them. You know? I just see here that covetous practices is what a false prophet uses, and I've been around quite a bit of that. He knows how to take advantage of people. And he knows he lures them and traps them with carnal indulgences, and thereby is able to extort out of them whatever he needs or wants. Money, things, pleasure, or support for himself and his agenda. And that's what I'm saying to you. That's what the Bible's teaching us here, I believe, is you just got to watch for that in people, in preachers, and in people. People are that way too. It's not just preachers, it's people that sit in the pews. I mean, if it's somebody that's always trying to get instead of give, there's a problem there. If they've always got their hand out, you know, it's almost, I can almost say if they ever got their hand out. Because I'd just about starve plumb to death before I'd ask for help. Not from God, I'd ask God in a heartbeat. Because God don't mind, and God's not offended by it, and it ain't no problem to ask God. But to go to ask for somebody else, I just can't, you know. That'd be real hard. That's a hard deal, trying to be a missionary and not asking for stuff. That preacher told me one time, he said, how in the world is everybody going to know what your needs are if you don't tell them? And I said, well, what in the world's wrong with me telling God and letting God tell them? Then I know God did it. If I tell them, then I did it. And I ain't got no peace or no assurance about it that God did anything with it. I asked for it and begged for it, and they gave it to me because they felt sorry for me. Where's God and all of that? Well, I've had it happen lots of times. We've had it happen here since we've been here. Lots of times. Where we's down to the wire. And I go down there and there's a check. And $1,500 out of nowhere. Unexpected. I didn't ask for it. Didn't tell them we needed anything. We tell these people that do send us money once in a while from down there that, you know, we don't even know these people. They've never met us or nothing. But we tell them every time in the thank you cards we send them, you just don't know how. It is. Every time they've sent money is when we needed it the most. And so that is a blessing to me, to know God speaks to somebody else's heart. He knows our need and He takes care of us. Thank God for people that listen. But He's always asking for something or for more of something. There's always another program or another need to give or to support with your time. You don't drive sheep. You don't drive them. And that's not what a shepherd does. He leads the sheep. He doesn't drive them. They're not animals to abuse, and they're not animals that you just, you're not there. You're there to protect them. You're there to, this is what Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You're not there for them to feed you. You feed my sheep. You're there to minister to them. But the false prophet's there for them to minister to him. He's there to get what he can get. He's not there to give. He's there to get. And so when you look at the situation and it's that way and it just stays that way and it's a habitual, continual thing where it's that way where he's just always asking and always a needing and always a wanting and always got to give more and more and more. You got a problem there. Yes, sir. All right, wolves. These wolves are always there. We're just about done. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Man, sit right there with you and eat with you and act like they're part of you. And they're lying to you. They're not what they say they are. Not what you think they are. Not what they've tried to get you to believe they are. You can hear them howling if you listen. And can tell the difference between a sheep and a wolf. That ought to be pretty easy, shouldn't it? Old Brother Melby always said, he said when you have a testimony service, he said, if the sheep won't start testifying, he said, the wolves will start howling. Boy, he had it right, too. Because I've seen that happen a lot of times. Like, man, we need to just shut this thing down. What in the world? Because the wolves are howling. Everybody knows they're there, and therefore there's spots and blemishes in the church where they've taken up their abode. Everybody in town knows when you got a wolf for a pastor in a church. They talk about it out in the town. They sure do. Yep. Everybody knows it. That's their spots and blemishes, therefore. And they don't hide and sneak around, but they sport themselves while they feast with you. They're not quiet, but they're loud and assertive. And they don't hesitate to broadcast their opinions and beliefs that are contrary to righteousness. Man, y'all understand what I'm saying to you? This, you know, as I say over and over, I don't like preaching this stuff. I preached on heaven this morning, Brother Shepherd, and that is much more pleasant. and I don't like this stuff. I just don't like saying these things. What I worry about is people being discouraged and thinking ain't nobody any good and thinking, no, it's just like we were talking this morning, you know, the world's full of evil and everything's defiled and it's bad and it's the situation's not good. But don't forget, God's still God and God's still got his people, and there's still people that love God and do right. There's still preachers that preach the truth that'd die for you, and they'll die to tell the truth. And so remember that. It's not all rotten. It's not all bad. But there is some rot. And there is some bad. And you just need to not be deceived and walk in delusion like everybody's just fine and everything's wonderful and everybody loves. No, it ain't that way. Beware of false prophets, Jesus said. Be on your toes. Don't be dumb about it. Like I said a while ago, I didn't used to think this way. I didn't used to realize it was this way. I thought everybody was wonderful. But I was stupid. And so, don't be that way. They're not quiet. They don't hesitate to state their opinions and their contrary opinions to righteousness. They'll be real belligerent about it. It's like the thing we talked about a while ago. I cannot cease from sin. You know, they're real belligerent about that stuff. They boast about it. And they sport themselves about it. And they teach other people that. They're not a blessing to the spiritual people in the church, but the carnal people love them and attach themselves to them immediately. Right. Just like I've said so many times, you know, that if you're of the world would love his own.
Right.
But you're not of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And so it's like Brother Owen told me years ago, he said, if you people come into church, he said, if I have a preacher in the church, he said, I kind of watch my people, because he said, I know who's spiritual and who ain't. And he said, when the spiritual people like him, I kind of know what he is. And he said, if the worldly people in my church, they're the ones that like him, I know some things right there. So, and that's the truth. That's the truth. All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said this. I've said it over and over, but I'm going to read it to you. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. All right. We're going to keep going with this, and I hope that we get done with it pretty soon. I'd like to preach on something a little more sweet than that. But it is important. Yes, it is. Sure is. I don't go around just marking somebody off just because I don't agree with them or they don't agree with me. Or they do something that I don't agree with. I don't just say, well, there's a false prophet for you. I don't do that. And I don't think like that either. I don't suspect everybody. I don't live that way. But I watch. I do watch. Yeah. Because there's a lot at stake, you know. I mean, 40 years ago, it was just me and her. But now there's a bunch that matter here. We went up there to David's baptism the other night. There was 25 of from our family there. And I mean just our kids and us. And that's important. We got all these grandkids. And we got other people that are listening. And my goodness. You know, that message from Wednesday night, 70-some people listened to it. Or 80. Yesterday and today. So I told her, I said, well, I wish we had 70 more sitting in the church. That'd be nice. But it's the fact is that there's a lot of at stake. People's lives. These little ones, you know. I don't want somebody to come in and just fleece them and ruin their lives and make a mess of them with their selfish. I don't want some wolf to do that. And, you know, I may drop dead tomorrow. I could. And I want you to be ready. I want some of the rest of you to be able to carry on and not let that happen.
Amen.
So that's why it's necessary. You know, I know. I wish we could just come and shout it out and all that, but that's not good in the long run.
That's right.
It's all right once in a while, but it ain't what you need a steady diet of. we have dinner and Sunday, and Dorothy there, I mean, she wants that pie. That's what she wants. I mean, as soon as she fiddles around, won't eat her dinner, and she messes around there, and then as soon as somebody mentions, well, we got some pie, she pushes her bowl back and says, I done. You know, and she's looking around for the pie. If you just let her do it, she'd just eat pie or candy. But that won't make her healthy, and that won't help her to grow up and live. No, you got to have some more now. So, all right, well, let's stand. Everybody, remember now to next Sunday's old-fashioned Sunday, so we're going to have a good time. And if we can get things fixed around here enough to do it, we're going to have baptism next Sunday too. So, but our gas lines are leaking, and we got to fix that. Mike said we could just pour a few buckets of hot water in there, and Coda said he didn't care how cold it was anyway, so I don't guess that's going to hold us up.
Put a stovepipe out one of the windows.
Yeah, we can do that, yeah.
Well, I got baptized in the swimming pool, and it's real cold, so I did too.
Well, I remember that. When was that? It was in September. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Raymond got baptized up here. That was who got baptized when Raymond did that night? Yeah. Well, that wasn't bad. We had everything working then. Wasn't too bad. This leaked a little bit. Had a bucket under it. But I got some stuff to spray on it. I hope that'll stop it from leaking. But anyway, next Sunday's old-fashioned Sunday. Pray about all them flyers that was passed out yesterday. You know, pray we can get some people in here. There's some people promising to come, so pray for them. And pray for one another this week. And be ready to help one another if we need. All right? All right, anybody got a word before we dismiss here? All right, ladies, don't forget the food you're supposed to bring next Sunday. We'll remind you Wednesday night. We'll remind you Wednesday night. Yep, next Sunday we're going to have dinner here. So everybody be prepared for that. You going to get a stay for dinner, Jacob? Yeah, good. All righty. Hopefully we have some visitors here, too. Try to get somebody to come. Tell them everybody's going to be dressed up funny and they can come and look at us. Anything. I mean, anything, get them here. You know, where they... All righty. All right, everybody. Let's bow and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord's Day. Thank you for the rest. And thank you for the time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing this morning. Helping me. Blessing my soul. I pray somebody else got some help from it too. Thank you for the word of God that we've looked at tonight. Lord, it's not what we want all the time, but Lord, we need this, need the wisdom, we need the guidance, we need this understanding. Please help us to be balanced in it and use it right. Please protect us from being led astray. Lord, I pray that you would go with us now, help us through the week. Pray you'd help us to be a witness for you, a good ambassador for Christ. Help us, Lord, to love one another and remember one another in prayer. Help us, Lord, to remember those who are part of us but not here tonight. I pray that you would burden our hearts for them, the ones that are sick, the ones that are just not right and wandering away. Please help us, Lord, to be burdened about them and reach out to them. And, Lord, pray you'd work in their hearts. Thank you for watching old Brother Shepherd and his wife getting them here safely. Lord, we thank you for them and what a blessing they are to us. Thank you for our church. Please bless us here. Help us to make a difference in our community here and in the lives of other people in these last days before you come. Lord, I love you and thank you for the good day in Jesus' name. Amen.